The shir should be in Mitzvah Shem. The schus and the refuah shlema of our close chaver. Gabriel Pinchas and Devorah Zlat.
The topic I want to do today is the relationship between halacha and hashkafa. We normally assume that, or we would assume, that hashkafa should infect halacha. And usually we find ourselves in a question when we have different communities who tend to paskin differently, let's say on different issues. Let's say when you can relatively predict, let's say, how a YU rabbi is going to paskin, and how the Eidah Charedis is going to paskin, and how a young Israel rabbi is going to paskin. So very often we can sometimes assume or think that that's coming from an unhealthy place. Halacha should be straightforward, and theoretically halacha should be paskin the same way no matter where you are, no matter where you live. Obviously there are exceptions to that, but I'd like to look into the relationship between halacha and hashkafa halachically, okay? There's two directions that we could be having this discussion, and I want to distinguish between them. In terms of the relationship between halacha and hashkafa, there's one part of the relationship which I don't want to discuss, which is the question of the halacha of hashkafa. Is there psak? Is there such a thing as a psak halacha of whether someone's hashkafa is right or not? And can we paskin things about hashkafa? That's not the question I'm going to ask now. The question I'm going to ask now, and I'm going to deal with now, is it valid for our hashkafa to affect our psak halacha? Okay? Is it valid that that when we paskin halacha, our hashkafa should affect that? Or is that a sign that someone is being untrue to the halacha? I'd like to start the discussion with a story from Rav Soloveitchik himself in Halachic Man. We'll read that together. From the Sefer Halachic Man, when he's discussing what the Halachic Man is in terms of Pesach Halacha. And this Halachic truth is one complete and ultimate truth, which Halachic Man is not ready to sacrifice even for the sake of some exalted goal. He does not understand the ins and outs of politics, nor is he cunning, I'm not speaking of wisdom, in worldly matters. He will not overlook a single jot or tittle of the halacha, even to realize some lofty desire. We have here the manifestation not of the religious zeal of universal homo religios, but of the type of zeal specific to the halachist, the zeal for truth granted to him by Hashem. Thus, halachic man will not be overly lenient, but at the same time will not be overly strict. The truth will call to account those who dishonor it, be they extreme rigorists or extreme permissivists. Here he starts off by describing that the ish halacha has one thing in front of him and only one thing in front of him, which is the letter of the halachic law. And that letter of the halachic law will not change no matter what other important issues are on the table. And that will ultimately protect him from both kulot and chumrot. Okay? The halachic man which the Rav is describing is the person who halacha is first. He's not going to involve the political situation of the day. He's not going to involve what the Rav calls lofty goals. Okay? And he's going to give an example now. Once Rav Chaim of Brisk was attending a conference of outstanding Torah scholars in St. Petersburg. The item on the agenda was the question of uncircumcised infants. Should their names be entered into the official register of the Jewish community? Now, this was not a bureaucratic question. This is a question of are they going to be, it's essentially a cherem. Are they going to be allowed to be buried in the Jewish burial grounds? Are they going to be allowed to take part in communal activity? Meaning this is essentially a cherem. They're trying to decide, does a child or a family who doesn't give a bris milah to their child, do we totally disown them from the community? All of the rabbis declared, it is certainly forbidden to register them, for they are not circumcised. Through this tactic, they hope to compel the assimilationists to circumcise their sons. The reason they were doing this, and the reason they were paskening this way, was in order to protect from assimilation. Okay, it was giving another incentive or deterrent from assimilation. Rav Chaim arose. He stood up. And he said, my masters, please show me the halacha which states that one who is not circumcised is not a member of the Jewish people. I'm aware that the person who is not circumcised may not partake of the sacrifices. He can't eat from the korbanos or of the heave offering. But I am unaware that he is devoid of the holiness of belonging to the Jewish people. To be sure, if he comes of age and does not circumcise himself, he is chayiv in kares. But a person who eats dam and who is mechalel Shabbos is also chayiv kares. But we don't. Why do we treat the arel, the person who is not mal their child, any more chamor than someone who is mechalel Shabbos? Quite the opposite. This child, he himself didn't do anything wrong, only his parents did. Why are we putting the onus on him? From a political and practical perspective, and as an emergency measure, no doubt the majority was correct. However, on the basis of pure halacha, Rav Chaim was correct. And he would not sacrifice this halachic truth even for the sake of realizing the noblest of ideas. Rav Chaim to Rav Soloveitchik, when I say the Rav Soloveitchik stam, it means Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Rav. Rav Chaim was the ultimate model of the Ish Halacha. And the example here was Rav Chaim placing only the letter of the law of Halacha and saying there is no reason to treat an Arel any differently than we treat Mechalel Shabbos. Okay? And he says, halachically, there should be no difference. Okay? Now, I ask you a question. Okay? Can you pick up any hints from the Rav's language or his tone of what the Rav thinks? Okay? The Rav is certainly setting a model of Rav Chaim of saying only letter of the law. But he himself is saying, there's no question about it, if you take everything else into consideration, that the majority is correct. That there's a good reason for them to set forth. And to asser. Okay? I want to go on a little bit and then we'll talk it out a little. Halachic man implements the Torah without any compromises or concessions. For precisely such implementation, such actualization is his ultimate desire, his fondest dream. For the Ish Halacha, there is nothing more significant than doing the Halacha exactly as it's written without any other considerations. Okay? Before we walk into it, we have so many parallel type of discussions or situations in today's society. Okay? Let's take a classic example. Okay? The question of, let's say, the role of homosexuals in the shul. Is that question, according to the model of Rav Chaim, that should be a question, or should be a halachic question of, again, is it any different? Granted, someone who acts out on homosexuality is doing an avera. But we don't throw out of the community everyone who does an avera. Okay, so if we were to bring in other considerations, and some people want to bring in other considerations and say, yeah, but what does that do to the structure of the community? What message does it send? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Rav Chaim, ostensibly according to the model that the Rav is setting up, says, those are not things that you can take into consideration into halacha. Halacha to the halachic man is blind to the extra halacha considerations. Okay? That's the way the Rav seems to be implying in the halachic man. Okay? What? How who paskins? Ah, correct. I'm gonna say, first of all, I think the Rav is presenting a model of Rav Chaim, and I think he will suggest that Rav Chaim would paskin that way. And as much as he is in complete admiration of Rav Chaim, I agree with you. I don't think that, I think the Rav himself is indicating that he would have sided with the other people there, with the other Abanim there. And he's citing the intent. But what I want to ask now is what? What was that? In the Rav. So, again, I don't want to enter into what the Rav would have done, but in terms of process-wise, he would have said it is valid to consider other things. It is valid to create siyagim based on other things other than just the dry halacha. Okay? Now, what I want to ask the question, I'm going to come back to the case, but the question I'm going to ask is going to be a question of, is this valid? What is it about the halacha? When I walk into a halacha and I ask the question, okay, let's say not only a question over here, we'll bump into a few cases. When I'm asking a halacha question, should I just be looking at the Shulchan Aruch and not considering other issues, other hashkafic issues, other what Rav Soloveitchik himself calls other lofty ideals? Is it valid for me to walk in, and let's give classic hashkafic examples, okay? Let's say you have something which is mutter, okay? Let's say iPhones, okay? Let's say there's no halachic isser, but you feel that it's something which is going to destroy the community, or it's going to affect the community, okay? Is it a valid halachic position, okay, to take a halachic position? You know what? I don't want to, that's a bad example. That's the other type of paskening on hashkafa. Here I want to take, let's say I feel that Eretz Yisrael is something very important. Can I be makil on something where I have a halacha which says that something is usher? Okay? Am I allowed to be makil there because of a hashkafa, the chashivos of Eretz Yisrael, the chashivos of aliyat Eretz Yisrael? Alternatively, let's say Liman Torah. I have a halacha that something is usher. Am I allowed to be makil because I feel hashkafically that Liman Torah is so overwhelmingly hashkafically important that it's a reason to be makil? Okay? What? We'd have to look at the example, and the truth is we'll see examples of both of those questions. Okay? But when a person is walking into a lachic question, is it valid for him to say, well, let me take the hashkafic considerations into account? Okay? Now, I'm going to say I'm going to start off at the top. You know, there's the old phrase of Dale Carnegie. It says, leave them, when you speak, leave them wishing that you had said more, not wishing you had said less. Okay? This is a topic which we're going to hit the tip of the iceberg. That doesn't mean I'm going to be leaving loose ends, but I'd like to deal with the starting point, and then obviously there's a lot more which has to be dealt with. Okay? Okay. And we're going to come back to the Maisa of Rav Chaim in St. Petersburg afterwards, but I want to start off with into some of the Mari Makomos. Okay? First of all, you know, before I walk into the Mari Makomos, when we talk about a hashkafic issue, essentially we're referring to any sort of Torah sensitivity, okay, but which isn't a measured and measurable halachic point, okay? It's clearly a Torah sensitivity, okay? The examples I gave, chashivas of Lima Torah, the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael, let's say the issues we're going to walk into, kavod abrios, these are things which are clearly, they're clearly Torah sensitivities. The question is, how do they play their role in terms of halacha? Okay? So let's walk into the first Gemara for a second. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hamotzei kilayim bebigdo poshtam afilu bashuk. A person who's walking and wearing shatnas. Kilayim here is in kilei abgadim. He's wearing shatnas, and he knows he's wearing shatnas. And he realizes as he's walking in the middle of the shuk. Says Rav Yehuda, what he has to do is he has to take his coat off right there on the spot. Okay? It's a situation which is clearly embarrassing. We're not talking about taking off his jacket and putting it over his shoulder. We're talking about he's wearing a cloak. He takes it off. He's going to be wearing, let's say he's just going to be wearing his underwear. Okay? Walking in the shuk, realizes he's wearing shatness, comes to Rav Yehuda and says, take it off right there on the spot. You cannot wear shatness. My taima, what's the reason? Ein chochma, he's quoting a pasuk from Mishlei. In chochma v'ein tvuna v'ein etza l'neged Hashem. There's no cutting corners. There's no tricks. There's no... When it comes against Hashem's word, there's no way out. There's no playing games when it comes to Hashem's word. Okay? I would expect everyone to start asking a question. I can't hear you. What? Okay, so, well, we're going to have to figure out why and whether that's true, of whether you would or you wouldn't, okay? We have to see how we paskin, but Rav Yehuda seems to certainly say we would. And before we ask a question from somewhere else, the pasuk seems like an interesting pasuk to bring here. In chochma vein tvur vein etza l'neged Hashem. Okay? For us, we normally probably would not have brought this pasuk. Because it seems like this pasuk is saying, you can't take something outside, external. Nothing trumps HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But if we were walking into this shaila, we might have said, nothing trumps this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're asking the question from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side. What does he prefer? He's also sensitive to Kavod HaBrios. Right? We would not have said that this is an example. Let's say we were to paskin that you can keep walking and you don't have to take off the clothes. Okay? Let's say we were to say that. Would we consider that an act? The reason we're posking that is because we're going against Hashem. We wouldn't say that. We'd say that's what Hashem wants. Okay? So we have to figure out, it's an interesting pasuk, but Rav Yehuda's clearly not understanding that way. Okay? Rav Yehuda's paskening that it does not work that way. That when we say, when the way he understands the pasuk, or he's applying the pasuk, is that we have certain aspects of halacha, which are what we're going to call, for lack of a better term, okay, objectively measured. We can measure what's cultural. We can measure what's an issue of shatness and what's not an issue of shatness. We look in Yerideya, in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, to find out the halachas of shatness, and we say, here's the line, this is usur. We have other, what we're going to call, sensitivities of Torah. Okay? Kavod HaBrios. Okay? Avos Eretz Yisrael, protecting Eretz Yisrael. You know, I'll leave protecting Eretz Yisrael on the side, because that might not be, okay? That might be something else, okay? Limud Torah beyond the basic core, limud, but in the morning and at night. Here we have sensitivities. Here we have things which are good, and it seems like Rav Yehuda is saying, sensitivities can't trump very clearly delineated objective halachas. Okay? If I walk into a situation, let's give other type of examples, I'm sitting there, and it's a question of embarrassing someone or eating treif. Am I allowed to eat treif even though I might embarrass someone? No, I'm not allowed to eat treif. Why? Someone asking you, why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to embarrass someone. And he also doesn't want you to eat treif. How do you know which one wins? How do you know which one wins? Both are a problem. So here walks in Rabbi Yehuda and says, because I'll tell you a klal. Ein chochma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etzel l'neged Hashem. When we have a question being over on a clearly delineated halacha versus a sensitivity, both might be daraisa, both might be very important. Sensitivity doesn't beat out delineated halacha. I can't eat treif in order to embarrass someone else. However, let's walk a little bit further. Okay? Tashma. And I'm going to say this right off the bat. We're not learning the whole sugya of Kavod HaBrios and what happens in the end in this situation. Okay? but I'm trying to get out certain guidelines. Tashma, Godol Kavod Abriyo Shedoche Lo Taaseh Shebatorah. Kavod Abriyo is so grand that it's even Doche a Lo Taaseh Shebatorah. V'amai, how can that be? Lema, we have a rule, we say, Ein Chochma Vein Tvona Vein Eitzel Neged Hashem. We have a rule which says, in our language so far, that sensitivities can't beat Isurin. I can't eat treif for Kavod Abrios. So the Gemara goes on and gives all sorts of examples of what we mean by Doche Lo Taaseh. It might mean only a Darabanan, and maybe sensitivities can be Doche a Darabanan. It might mean B'Sheva Al Taaseh. Sensitivities can beat certain things, but they can't beat a Lo Taaseh, a regular, ordinary Isser. I can't eat treif, but I can possibly be mekel in certain other situations. Okay? So if we're doing Kavod Abrios, we'd get more into detail over there. Okay? Now we start to get to a little bit of the structure. Okay? What we see here in the structure, okay, is we're going to start to see that Hashkafa, Torah sensitivities, are going to play a halachic role, but to a limit. For a hashkafa, I can't be over on an isser. But there are going to be times where for a hashkafa, I am going to be mekel. What does mekel mean? Mekel does not mean do an isser. Mekel means, even though the majority of opinion might have said something, I can lean on a minority opinion. Or, in a situation where there's a Darabanan and a Daraisa, we say, well, Darabanan might have been Mekil. They might not have included this type of situation where there's an additional sensitivity. Okay? Let's take the example of Demai. I think this came up once in a class. Okay? Even though I'm not allowed to eat Treif, I'm allowed to eat Demai because that's a Chumrah. Okay? Chumras, let's say there's an issue of Kavod Abrios, and a chumrah comes up. So clearly I'm not going to do the chumrah when I might be embarrassing someone. Okay? When we say, does hashkafa affect halacha, we're starting to walk in and say, wait a second. Hashkafa can't get rid of a halacha, but hashkafa is going to play a role in the process of deciding, well, wait a second. Am I going to be machmir here? Or am I going to be mekel here? Am I going to look for another solution which I wouldn't normally use, but is valid? Or am I not going to? Okay? Let's look over to the next case in the Shulchan Aruch, okay? Question of, we have an Isser Derabanan. You're not allowed to buy things on Shabbos. Okay? Am I allowed to go to the store and buy things on Shabbos? No. Not allowed to buy things on Shabbos. This is Xero. Okay? So, what about, I have an opportunity. A house becomes available in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? House becomes available in Eretz Yisrael, and I have an opportunity to buy it. Okay? Am I allowed to buy it on Shabbos? Am I allowed to have a goy, say, Amira La'akum, am I allowed to tell a goy to sign on it? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch for a second. Mutter liknot bayit be'Eretz Yisrael, Min ha'eno Yisrael, b'Shabbos, v'chotem u'ma'ale be'erkaot. A person is allowed to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew on Shabbos, and is allowed to have it signed and bring it to the court on Shabbos. Go through the transaction. Comes the Ramah. Shelahem b'chtav shelahem. That's a side point for right now, okay, of who's based in it can go to. De'eno asur rak midrabanon u'mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael lo gazru. So comes the Or Zeruah, as the Ramah quotes, and says, the reason I'm allowed to there is because it's a derabanon, and derabanon were mekel in that situation. They said, hem amru v'hem amru. They created the Isser. And had it been a daraisa, so Yishuv Eretz Yisrael would not be a good enough reason. But by a darabanan, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's still not good on its own. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is okay. It's okay for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because Chazal, we're not metakin there. Comes the Mishnah Berura. Let's look in the Mishnah Berura. And he disagrees with the Or HaZohar. Rotsa lomar aktiva zu, shuhu, aktiva zu, hu min darabanan, v'have shvus to shvus, al yedei eno Yisrael. Okay? The writing is darabanan, and when you do a mira la'akum, you're telling a goy to write. So that's a darabanan on darabanan. U'mishum hachi hitiru mishum eretz Yisrael. Normally, do we allow you to write on Shabbos through a goy? No. Now, if we're taking the straight, let's walk into Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim would walk in and say, there's nothing I can do. There's no extra considerations. Here we have a situation of where Amira La'akum of a Darabonon, you ask me straight up, am I allowed to do it? Say no. Oh, but there's other wonderful things about how I can protect Eretz Yisrael and how I can get more of a chelik in Eretz Yisrael and how we can be b'kayim a mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Would come Rav Chaim in the Rav's model and say, ah, I'm an ish halacha. Don't bring in all sorts of sensitivities and wants and things which are important. He says, this is halacha. Halacha says, writing is not okay. Through a goy on Shabbos, not all right. V'ayin b'ber alocha sh'b'yarnu d'dat ha'or zarua dat yechidoi. The sheet of the Or Zarua says that it was came just because Chazal were mekil. He says that's a das yochid. Really, it's not that way. Really, skip a few words. V'chol aposkim cholkim hazeh. Everyone disagrees with this. V'svir lei da'af b'chtav shalahem hu iser midaraisa. The Bechol Oshon Chayev, he says, now it's not because it's a Darabanan Tarabanan. He says, really, it's an Amir al-Akum and a Daraisa. Really, what we're talking about something is more Chamor. But nonetheless, Vafilu Hachi, and nonetheless, Hitiru Bekan al-Yidei Eno Yehudi, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The sensitivity, the importance of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is so important that even on an Amir al-Akum of a Daraisa, we're not Mekil. We're Mekil. This seems to be our Shkofik type of discussion. When I say our Shkofik, I don't mean, right now I'm not playing in terms of teams. Here comes the Mishnah Berura and says Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a sensitivity which is so important that it's going to take precedent over a Psak, which we would normally pass into Aser. Okay? Would we be able to be over on a daraisa and write ourselves? No. But can we be makil in a situation where there's a place that we can be makil? Even though I normally, in a pure situation, would say, are you allowed to write is a goy allowed to write for you? I'd say no. But I'm allowed to take hashkafic issues into consideration. When we talk about hashkafa, what we mean is that of the range of sensitivities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, okay? We could take, he gave us a sensitivity of Yisrael. He gave us sensitivity of Ben Adam Chavero. He gave us a sensitivity of Lima Torah. He gave us sensitivity of protecting them. All these things. What's a person's Ashkafa? A person's Ashkafa is that from all those sensitivity, what's the sensitivity which rises to the top? What's the sensitivity which he puts front and center and will always take priority? Okay? So therefore, you'll have one Tzibur, or one set of Rabbanim, hashkafically, let's say you have two Rabbanim walk into the same situation, both stroking their beard, just like I'm doing right now. Okay? And they enter into a question, and they say, okay, here, we have a case where there's a halacha, but we have a number of issues which are clashing with Tzitzadra. We might have an issue which is clashing of the importance of Limud Torah. But it's clashing with the importance of Yishuv Eretz. Oh, you know what? Let's give an example. Perfect example. Nothing's perfect, but a good example. Heter Mechira. Okay? Heter Mechira at the time of Rav Kook. Okay? We know what Heter Mechira is? Yes. Okay. Heter Mechira at the time of Rav Kook. Does everybody agree across the board that heter mechira is a kunz. Heter mechira is a, you know what a kunz is? A kunz is a halachic loophole. Okay? Everyone agrees it's a halachic loophole. Right? If a halachic man was coming in and said, is this, we're walking in, is this what Shemitah is supposed to be? Okay? Everyone across the board, including Rav Kook, would say, taken in a vacuum, if we were just learning Hilcha Shemitah, we'd say, Ma Pitom. Who would ever do Heter Mechira? But comes Rav Kook with a Hashkafic consideration. Wait a second. If we don't do Heter Mechira, the entire establishment of the Medina right now, at this crucial time, as we're trying to establish ourselves, will fall apart, will falter. And therefore, hashkafically, because establishing Eretz Yisrael on solid footing is so important, it's important for us to look for a kula. Are we allowed to say, because we want to establish Eretz Yisrael on solid footing, so therefore we're going to ignore Shemitah? No. No matter how strong the hashkafic consideration is, we can't say, okay, so the hashkafic consideration is strong, no Shemitah. We're not allowed to do that. Are we allowed to bring the hashkafic consideration in and say, now I'm going to be somech on a kula, which I wouldn't normally use? Of course. What about those who disagreed with the Heter Mechira? What did they disagree with? Were they disagreeing with the process of Rav Kook? No, there was a hashkafic question here. There was a hashkafic question of, wait a second. Here we have, if we're going to be making here on Hilcha Shemitah in such a way of Heter Mechira, okay, then this is totally going to put into danger the commitment to halacha. Not only are we establishing the country on a basis of agriculture and trying to set it up monetarily, we're also trying to establish it halachically. If we establish the community from the start that for all intent and purposes, Shemitah disappears, even though halachically it could work, b'diavad, they say, that is too much hashkafically, that's too problematic. Not just that halachically it's too problematic. So here what you have is you have a hashkafic discussion over here. Everyone, or mostly everyone, or most people, let's take, certainly according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, he would say most people agree that Heter Mechira is not ideal. And most people agree that b'diavad, it works. So what are we discussing here when we decide whether to accept Heter Mechira or not? We're deciding, wait a second, let's bring in Hashkafa. Is now a time, is this a time where we're going to put, first and foremost, to protect the agricultural structure of Eretz Yisrael so that the Yishuv doesn't fall apart? Are we first and foremost going to protect the structure of Shemitah at the beginning so that the halachas of Shemitah don't disappear? And this was a hashkafic discussion. It wasn't a cold halachic discussion of how kinyan works and whether a goy can be kone or can't be kone to most people. It was a question of what's the proper, what do we have to, which sensitivity of Torah sits higher on the list of priorities of what we have to protect, whether in general or locally over here at this time, what do we have to protect more? There we have a hashkafic machlokes. Okay? Give another example. Okay? An example of, here, lighting, I remember when, what, someone asked a question? No. Yeah, sure. Ah, there you are. You wait. First say it. You disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, you're saying? What is your rib? So we'd have to figure out, let's say, the Gemara there is assuming that, again, that in some way it's not being over on an Isser of Tznius. It might be over on a sensitivity of Tznius, but not an Isser of Tznius. Meaning, let's say, for example, we have, it could be by a girl or by a boy, okay? By a girl, you have certain Tznius which becomes an Isser, and you have certain areas of the Tznius which is a halachic sensitivity. Now, that doesn't take away from its truth, okay? Doesn't mean that it's any less important, but it means that it plays a different type of role halachically, okay? Meaning, let's say, showing certain parts of our body for a girl is going to be halachically already an isser, okay? Wearing a type of clothing which draws attention and sticks out might go against the sensitivity of tznius, but you're not going to say that's not going to be the objective halacha which I crossed the line. It's going to be the sensitivity. It might be a true sensitivity. It might come into the discussion of halacha and asking the question, when am I machmir, when am I mekil? But it's... So we say, when I'm taking it off, so what's happening? If it's a man and he's taking it off, so if what he's being over on is the sensitivity of tznius, so sensitivity doesn't trump shatness. We can have a different question. Well, what happens if it's over an objective halacha of tznius? So then we have to ask the question, what wins, objective halacha of tznius or objective halacha of shatness? But if it's the sensitivity of tznius, like that's not an appropriate way to be walking around, so sensitivity of tznius is not going to trump covered, is not going to trump shatness. Yes, because it's hard to find the by a man, you're going to have the equivalent sensitivity of tznius as by a woman, but you're not going to have the same objective tznius as you're going to have by a woman. Okay? Meaning, if a man walks around in a tank top, there might be a problem of sensitivity of tznius. There's not going to be a problem of objective tznius. You see what the difference? Okay. So here, there's no question about it. There's no question about it that hashkafa can play a role in halacha, but hashkafa must play a role in halacha. Meaning when Rav Kook is coming and saying that we should be somech on heter mechira, he's not saying you can be somech on heter mechira. He's not saying we can establish heter mechira. He's saying we should. He's saying there's a Torah sensitivity, and because the halachic process allows it, so we need to do it. Okay? By the question of buying the house on Shabbos, it's not that you can buy the house on Shabbos. It's that you should buy the house on Shabbos. So here we have a reality that Hashkafa, when it's not being over on an when it comes to an objective guideline that says, by being sensitive to this Hashkafic issue, I'm going to be over in Aveira, that Chazal say, Ein Chochma Vein Yiro L'Neged Hashem, you cannot do that. You cannot say Yishuv Eretz Yisrael trumps Kashrus. You cannot say Yishuv Eretz Yisrael trumps Shabbos, Hilcho Shabbos. But when there's an area of there's a tzad that you can be mekil, because either there's another das, there's another person you can lean on, or we say there's a certain durabanon and they allowed in this certain situation for certain sensitivities, or okay, there's all sorts of sin, or there's a halachic sensitivity which is coming as it. So not only there does hashkafa, not only there can hashkafa play a role, there hashkafa has to play a role. There the sensitivities of Torah need to play a role. Okay? Let me walk into the next type of example, which I don't have the mekor because it was from a situation where the Rav Rashi, the current Rav Rashi, was in our base medrash, and he gave a psak from Rav Vadi Yosef Zatel. He said, that polo people learning in yeshiva should not be lighting at lighting time. They should wait until they get home at night. Let's say it's 10 o'clock at night, and they should be lighting at 10 o'clock at night. Okay? This is what Rav Yaakov said. This is what the Rav HaRashi said. The son of Rav Avadia Yosef. Okay? And he quoted it in the name of his father. He said, My father, Rav Avadia Yosef, he said every day of Hanukkah would light at 11 o'clock at night when he got back from giving all of his shiurim and giving on and doing all of his and going around and give and teaching Torah. He'd light at 11 o'clock at night. Oh, isn't there a beferish halacha? When are we supposed to light candles on Hanukkah? Either Shkia or Tzeis. Isn't it clear that according to the cold halacha, the time which we have to light is either Shkia or Tzeis? Came Rav Avadia Yosef and says, yes, that's the time of Chatchila when you have to. But you're still Yotze if you did it at 11 o'clock at night. And here we have a sensitivity of Limud Torah. If lighting on time is going to cause a tremendous amount of Bittul Torah, is going to stop public learning, is going to stop Shiurim, is going to stop all that, he says, there, now would he ever say, let's say I was going to be learning through the night. And me continuing learning meant that I was going to miss candle lighting. Would we be allowed to miss candle lighting for Limud Torah? What? No. But are we allowed to light at a time when we normally wouldn't light because of Limud Torah? He says yes. He says yes. Say that again, what? A 100%. And that's what he says. He says, a sensitivity, a hashkafic sensitivity of Limud Torah is allowed to trump lighting bizman, but is not allowed to trump not lighting. We can't, Limud Torah is not going to be allow me to be mevatel a mitzvah, even a mitzvah derabanan. But it is going to allow me to be somech and to lean on a less preferable lighting time. Okay? If we come back to our basic question is Hashkafa allowed to play a role in the halachic process? The answer is yes and no. Hashkafa is not allowed to get rid of halacha. But does it play a part in the process of deciding how I paskin? 100%. Is it supposed to? 100%. When Rav Avadia Yosef paskin that way, he wasn't paskining that a person who's learning is allowed to light later. He was saying a person who's lighting should light later. Saying it's better to light later. It's not a heter to light later. He's saying you should light later. So now let me come back and finish up this year by walking back to our case by Rav Chaim Brisk. Rav Chaim Brisk, so what's happening? The picture which the Rav is drawing of Rav Chaim seems to be the Rav Chaim doesn't hold like this entire shiur. It seems to be, the way the Rav seems to present it at first, okay, is that most people, okay, are the Rebbein being over on an Isser by keeping them out of the registry? No, there's no Isser they're being over. So now we ask a question. The Hashkafic step of protecting from assimilation, can that play a role in the process? According to the Rav seems to present Rav Chaim as saying, no, that's not the way halacha works. You're not allowed to consider anything else. Really? Really, Rav Chaim? Or really, is that really, the halachic man doesn't agree that Kavod HaBrios can have an effect on me being makil in certain areas? Of course he does. So what is Rav Chaim? What is the halachic man? The halachic man really never takes hashkafa into consideration? That's not what the Rav is saying, even though he seems to present it that way. But if we look carefully at the words of the Rav, everyone agrees that hashkafa is allowed to play a role in halacha. everyone agrees that Hashkafa does have to play a role in halacha. There are limitations. There are things which Hashkafa can do. There are things which Hashkafa can't do. And when you have two communities which are paskening differently because they have different Hashkafa, that's good. That's the way they express their Hashkafa. That's normal. That's good. Again, I'm going to go on record again for saying, machlokas is good. What does that mean? Having that range, not machlokas, not inappropriate machlokas, but having machlokas l'shem shamayim of having different communities which feel strongly that different things have to rise to the top, whether it's ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'makom, limud Torah, Eretz Yisrael, all these things which, but and they buttress them and they make their way into halacha. That's an excellent thing. What was Ish Halacha saying? You know what Ish Halacha is saying? Ish Halacha is another type of hashkafa. Ish Halacha is a hashkafa that Rav Chaim says that I hashkafically think that it's more important not to take other things into consideration. Not because you can't on the halachic side, but on the hashkafic side, it protects you. A person who starts to take into consideration certain hashkafic things, certain sensitivities, he himself is going to start being mekil and going to start being machmir, and it starts doing funny things to halacha. Rav Chaim's hashkafa, if you have one community, which what do they raise up to the top? They raise up Eretz Yisrael. One community, what do they raise up to the top? Limud Torah. What does Rav Chaim, the halachic man, raise up to the top? The letter of the law. They say by putting the letter of the law on top, that protects us from getting caught up in all sorts of halachic kumras and all sorts of halachic kulas. It allows me, labriut, it allows me to have a certain understanding of putting halacha first. I don't think that Rav Chaim was making a statement against hashkafa. I think Rav Chaim was making a hashkafic statement. And his hashkafic statement was letter of the law first. Otherwise, we're going to get into a very big mess. Okay? We've just started. Where we have to go with this now is to try to figure out which sensitivities can affect halacha and to what extent. What are the things they're allowed to aser? What are the things they're allowed to change? What are the things they're not allowed to change? Which people use them to what extent and which people don't? There's a lot to talk about. But the basic yesod that hashkafa can affect halacha and should affect halacha is clear and true. Okay? That is the way, that is the place where all of the sensitivities of Torah, even Daraisa sensitivities, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, that's a law, that's a halacha, which makes itself into a halachic process. It doesn't allow us to eat treif, even though it's a Daraisa, but it is going to affect how we paskin.